Allez. Let us again listen to this verse. Lord Brahma said, when the unlimitedly powerful Lord assumed the form of a boar as a pastime, just to lift the planet Earth, which was drowned in the great ocean of the universe called the Garbhodaka, the first demon, Hiranyaksha, appeared, and the Lord pierced him with his tusk. This is taken from the 7th chapter of the 2nd canto, which is called, or which deals with scheduled incarnations. That means incarnations which come according to their time on the universal timetable for incarnations, scheduled incarnations with specific functions. The incarnation assume different forms for very specific purposes. And the Lord here takes the beautiful form of a boar in order to save the planet Earth, which had been thrown out of its natural position and was now in the Garbhodaka ocean in the bottom. Now, because wild boars have the very specific physical construction to lift something which is in the earth, really, they have an appropriate detector, that's a nostril, they have a very fine sense of smelling, they can find everything, and then they have a snout which comes forward like this, and they have on the snout some, you know, it's like toothpicks, you can pick everything with it, the tusks, and it was possible therefore to save planet Earth. This form, in other words, has, I will surprise you, at least two functions. One is the function just mentioned, to take the planet Earth, which had really sunk into the bottom of that Garbhodaka ocean, you know, into the mud, really, to take it out. And the second function, because the Lord could have taken other forms as well, is explained in the Matsya Purana. It is in a way challenging our concepts of Krishna. See, when we are thinking of a shukha is a boar, we shake in disgust. We don't want to come close. I remember when I was in Vrindavan this year, we have one driverji, his name is Mahesh. He is a real fast driver. He's famous as the racing bridge Basi. I was asking him, why do I see so many pigs? The pig population is increasing in Vrindavan. And he, I thought something, it's not important, but it was not that reason. And he said he didn't know. And then I asked him, how do you call this animal? And he said, sugar. Sugar is sweet, but this is not sweet. No. And he laughed, ha 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 ha. And we almost had to stop, he laughed so hard. Not sugar. One devotee has in the email sugar, not sugar, shuka. Shuka means
the wild boar, you know, and a pig. So, not and then he explained this is a very dirty animal because it eats that the stool, and then its body becomes so fat because there's some fat in the stool. I'm sorry, Sharanga Thakur. I know it's early in the morning and you don't want to hear before breakfast such things. And there's this fat inside, and that makes you very fat when you eat it. In case you didn't know. So that's why they are so fat, because they... anyways, let's stop this. It's before breakfast. Hare Krishna. And usually, therefore, because this animal is fat because of eating this, it's untouchable. You don't even look in the direction of this animal, and you don't speak about this animal, at least not before the Brahmin Sharanga Thakur. You know, it's so dirty that even to think about it makes you, ugh. My stomach, you know. So, but when Lord Krishna, listen to this, takes on this form, he is wonderful. When the boar appeared from the nostril of Lord Brahma, he came out of the nostril of Lord Brahma. Listen to this. He breathed out Brahma, and then a small little something came out and expanded. And when it was big enough, like very, very big, it made the sound, and everyone went yoo-hoo, you know, that this then it shook its vast body. Now when a normal pig shakes his body, it means run, you know, because you don't want to become dirty. But the saints who saw this went like, in order to be bathed by the water which was coming from Lord Varaha as he roared to announce his victory over the demons and shook himself. It was like, you know, when the pujari, after he has offered the water to the Lord, the water is pure, and when he turns around and throws it over the congregation of worshippers, everyone goes like, you should see in Vrindavan, in Vashana, at the morning aarti, after the morning aarti, the pujari goes and has water, and he sprinkles almost like small bucket like this over the worshippers, and they all rush forward. And if you don't have good rib bones, don't be in the crowd because you will be crushed. It's so eager. Everyone is so eager to get that water. So this shows us that anything in contact with the Lord is very pure. So that form of the shukar, which usually everyone goes like, oh, shukar. You know, that form of a boar was so auspicious that the saints bathed in the water falling from his hairs. And some of the hairs fell out. Now when our hair falls out and we find the hair everywhere, we become discouraged. But when the hair of the Lord fell, just listen to this. The hair fell on the earth and it sprouted into beautiful kusha grass. And this kusha grass is used by the most purest of Brahmins to sit upon when they do their worship or their chanting. I have a kusha grass mat and I'm sitting on it with profit in the Gora Bhavan. Yes. Yes, it's very pure. So the Lord, I always feel the appearance of Lord Varaha announces for us in resonating tones, don't measure the Lord with your material concepts. According to material concepts, Shukar, you know, a wild boar is to be avoided by all means. It's so dirty. It eats. Yeah, its eating habits. Everything is low. But when the Lord takes even such a form, it's beautiful. It's praised in the morning class before breakfast, without any problem, because the Lord is beautiful and wonderful in whatever He does. Never make the mistake to measure the Lord and His deeds by material concepts. You are wrong if you do this. You cannot compare the Lord with anything of this world. He was before anything. So, that Lord then roared, and when Hiranyaksha, who had disturbed the earth and had pushed it down into the mud of the universe, heard this, he whirled around and he saw the Lord Varaha coming at him with a mace. And they fought. The Lord was enjoying it very much and joyfully enjoyed it. And finally, he took his hand and just hit him, and he fell down, and then he killed him afterwards by piercing his heart. Now, when devotees hear this, who measure the Lord with a material concept, they think, oh, again, killing, this we know. He did the Krishna book, I know what it is. There's a demon, ping, 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 and he's dead. That's your religious Bible, you know. This is a mundane concept. There is a verse, it's called Mudheta Sadur Api Vrikshita Sapahatya. It's in the 7th canto. It says, even saintly persons take pleasure in the killing of a scorpion or a snake. So the devotees take pleasure when they hear that the Lord is killing the demons, because the devotees know, I mean, if they are a little introspective and like to find out what is it about the Lord, they know this killing is not to be measured with mundane qualities. It's not Bruce Lee killing, or the dragon, crouching tiger, flying dragon, or whatever. It is not a kung fu film from the cheap film industry of China. It's something totally different. It is very, very spiritual. And how it is, you have to find out. You have to become interested in the Lord and His activities and the details, how He does it, so that you can find out how He is wonderful even in His acts of killing demons. You cannot be just measure it with a material conflict. Oh, it's like in a kung fu film, and so on. So the Lord went, and His specific purpose was what? To rescue the planet Earth. How nicely you have said it. To rescue the planet Earth, yes, by uplifting it. I like this pastime very much because I certainly am also like a fallen planet. I also need the uplifting Shakti of the Lord. The Sanskrit for uplifting here is interesting. Udharanaya, Udharan. Huh? One of the different names of the Lord is Patita Udharana, which means He uplifts the fallen people. By His Devam Prakriti, by His... it said that those who are approaching the Lord do what is called Devam Prakritim Ashrita. They place their life under the shelter of the divine energy. That is the difference between a materialist and a devotee, or that's a difference between an enlivened devotee and a not so enlivened devotee. The devotee places his life under the shelter of the divine energy. And once a devotee does this, the Lord becomes Patita Udaran for him. He protects first and then uplifts the devotee by his higher strength. See, in this world, you can say that there are two energies and you have a choice which one of the energies you place yourself under. Under which shelter do you move? There is what is called the Purushakara energy and the Daiva. Purushakara and the Daiva. Purushakara means what a human being can do. It's the strength which comes from your own intelligence and your own resources, financial, physical, what you have. Purushakara. And then there is the Daiva strength. It's a strength which comes from the Lord. All of us have a certain strength and a certain intelligence and a certain amount of money. I notice Hari Prasad must be rich because you're from New York. You were flying from in an international flight here. So that is his own strength. Maybe it's the strength of your money, of your mother also, who has given, has helped to come. That Purushakara, our own strengths, our money strengths, our intelligence strengths, or some of us go to fitness studios, our bodily strengths. This is called Purushakara. But there is another strength which is called Deva, the divine strength of the Lord. Purushakara strength is always limited. Deva is unlimited because it comes from an unlimited source of strength. It comes from the Lord. So to rely on the strength of the Lord is more successful. There is this ancient story of Prahlad Maharaj, who totally made himself dependent on Daiva, on the Lord. Remember when Hiranyakashipu, his father, who was the exact opposite, he was working with his own strengths and he had a lot. He was a mystical demon. Ooh, too much. He was the older brother, I believe, of Hiranyaksha. He was something. When he began to attack Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu began to attack Prahlad Maharaj, it was the beginning of his end. In the Bhagavatam it says, Hiranyakashipu is very strong on his own. You know, he has extraordinary strength. He was so strong that in fact he ruled the whole universe, and even the devatas bowed down before him and became his slaves. He was extraordinary strong. He conquered all the directions. But when he began to attack his little helpless child, Prahlad, the Bhagavatam said that's the beginning of the end. And when he will try to kill Prahlad, then he will die. It came to that family drama where the father attacked with a sword, a blank sword, his son to kill him. And Prahlad was dependent on Krishna. He was so dependent that he felt so protected that he felt my father must be joking with me. But it was not a joke. It was the versus type of parental abuse of the power. He wanted to kill his boy. So then he asked him, how are you so strong? I have tried to kill you many times, and you have always not been, I was not able to kill you. And Prahlad said, I'm so strong by Daiva strength. I get my strength from the Lord. And Father, believe it or not, you also get it from there, because there's only one source. So the demon said, nonsense! I'm strong on my own, and I will now kill your so-called Lord. You will see. First, I will kill you, and then I will kill the Lord. A confrontation was there between Deva and Purushakara. You can say no, there was a confrontation of the devotee and the demon, and that's right. But we are now talking about strengths, about ways to conduct our lives. And that was between the Deva, someone who had taken shelter under the divine energy, and someone who had taken shelter in the material energy and was relying on his own strengths, the Purushakara. And you know how it ended. The devotee who was protected was victorious. Prabhupada made once a very interesting statement. It was a political statement about the Soviet Empire. When Prabhupada heard that the KGB agents of that Soviet Empire had hurt the devotees, you know, by imprisoning them. And you can ask the devotees, we have some devotees from the previous Soviet Empire. They were even torturing the devotees in psychological clinics by injecting some psychological chemistry into them to test the effect of these chemistry on them. They gave them nerve gas and so on. When Prabhupada heard this, he said, now the Soviet Empire is finished. It will fall. Because of the same confrontation, there are devotees who take shelter in Krishna, and there are materialists who take shelter not in Krishna, but in their own strengths. Prabhupada raised a question. This is an important question. I will prepare you. I will put a difficult question before you in about 10 minutes, which will make you shudder, this question, which I will ask you. But I will prepare you for this question now. Have you heard about the struggle for the Juhu land? There was this Mr. Nair. He was very highly placed in the local government of Juhu, and he sold. He had this method of cheating, of making money. He sold a beautiful place of land near the ocean, the Arabic Ocean, and then he placed some condition on the land. If by so and so, by such and such date, you have not constructed a temple there, then the land goes back to the owner, original owner, that is to me. So then he sold this land to the devotees, and the devotees detected this clause, you have to build a temple in so and so many months later. It was, he didn't tell the devotees, it was there hidden in some thing, and then the devotees couldn't raise the money, And then he wanted to take the land back. So when the devotees found that out, they immediately, overnight, with a friend, built a temporary temple to be legally now the owner of the land. So when Mr. Nair found out that his trick didn't work on the Hare Krishna devotees, he got gundas. Do you know what is gundas? Mafia? Mafiosos? And he went with these gundas on the land to destroy the temple. And because he was the sheriff, that's the title which he had police backing his gundas. Wow, this was a war. And he was actually able to destroy the temple because the police was protecting the police. In India, police can be bribed. You give a lot of money and then they are on your side. No problem, said Ravi, no problem. So they, and they, now something for the Balkan emotions, they grabbed one Mataji at her hair, Mataji hair, and pulled her by the hair when she wanted to protect the deities. Yes, a real demon. And the next day he died. Now Prabhupada raised a question. Why were we successful but not, and the land went to us, and not Mr. Nair? Why? And then he said, he had money, he had influence, he was a sheriff, he had a newspaper called Free Press Journal, and still he failed and he even died. Why? And then he said, Mr. Nair was working on his own account for himself, but we were working for Krishna. My dear devotees, on what side are you? Are you working for Krishna already, or are you still trying to situate yourself in the danger, in the waves of material existence? I know this is a very difficult question, and one person, I can see already the trauma rising in his heart when he hears the question. But engage your intelligence with this question for a moment. There, we will address all the other points which also need to be addressed in a moment. It's a balanced presentation, I promise you. I just want to ask you now a question. Stay with the question. Are you working under the shelter of Krishna, or are you making your own arrangements? Trying to make arrangements. This is a simple question. Answer this question. Stay with this question. Two strengths, two types of living entities. One is making himself dependent on the strengths of God. The other living entity makes himself dependent on his own arrangements and his plans. Since time immemorial, these two are there in this universe. One is called the Suras, and the other is called the Asuras. Huh? Now, obviously, there are a lot of gray zones between this. I don't think it's that simple to divide humanity in two categories. Also gray zones, they derive their shadows of great by how near they are to the light or by how near they are to the black, you know. So where do you place yourself? Here's the purest of the pure, here's the darkest of the dark. They derive their distinguishing qualities by the way they make themselves dependent on strengths. This side makes himself dependent on his own strengths. That side makes himself or herself dependent on Krishna's strengths. Huh? And now there are many shades between them, many gray zones, and here gets a little difficult because often it's not the either or, it's both, or a little here, a little of that. But if you want to increase your light in your life, you need to make a plan how you make yourself dependent on Krishna. Now, for those who are traumatized, who said that this is the old preaching, I should surrender totally to Krishna and look what came out of me, I'm not saying you should not work with the intelligence that God has given you, with the body, with the talents, because they are God-given. You should also, obviously, you should not ask the Lord for things you need to do in your life. And you should know when it's time to surrender, we should learn, and when it's time to make, it's not a question of not surrendering, when it's time to make your own arrangements, for instance, for a grihastha. We need to know how we can earn our living for our house, our children, who will eat a lot during their life, and so on. And we can't expect that, okay, I pray to Gonitai and they should give me the bread. No, the Gonitai has given you something else, your brain and your strengths, which must be utilized to earn. Use what the Lord has given you. But we are now speaking about, because it's so subtle, I feel sometimes that we don't think deep enough in Krishna consciousness, and it gives me a heart pain. The subtle thing which I want to express is, walk towards the light in your life. How you manage your life, you need to manage your life, but you need to walk towards the light. You need to walk towards that side in your life where you make yourself dependent on Krishna. Then you can be uplifted by Krishna. If you open your arms to the Lord, He can pick up your hands and make you walk. But if you always look towards material arrangements, you won't lift your arms up in the sky. You will put your arms into the matter, and then the Lord has nothing where He can catch you. Prabhupada made it very clear what he was meaning when he said, "We are working on behalf of Krishna." When there was a little confrontation in the temple, the devotees realized, my God, we have to build the temple. We had made a temporary shed. Shed means like a little hut. And then the demon came and destroyed that. And it almost took the land back. But then Krishna intervened and took the demon. But my God, we really have to make now a lot of money that this doesn't happen and that land is secure for the deities. And they went out collecting from after the morning program, and they collected throughout the whole day and into the evening and night. Once Prabhupada, he was visiting the temple. It was 6 o'clock in the evening. And he called a devotee. He had noticed there was no one in the artik because there was no singing in the artik. He had noticed that. He's extremely perceptive. When you were with Prabhupada, you really felt, he knows me. He sees everything about me, including the things which I don't see. You know, it was really a feeling. You were electrified in his presence, but you were also very, very careful. Very careful. Because he would just see something, and you would see by his eyes, oops, he has seen something. What has he seen? Why is he looking like that? Oh, yeah, my God, my dhoti is so dirty. Oh, I didn't see all the oil on my dhoti. And so anyways, so Prabhupada asked, where are the devotees? They are not in the artik. The devotee said, Prabhupada, they're collecting. At this time they're collecting? At 6 o'clock? And then he said his famous sentence, it is by Krishna's pleasure and mercy that we achieve success. Chant and dance before him for his pleasure, that will please him, and then the Lord will reciprocate with you. That is what he meant. I myself was corrected very intensely by Prabhupada, because believe it or not, I also worked to make money. Yes, I was a gardener. My company was called Paradise Now. You know, in other words, hire me and your garden is a paradise. Paradise Now, a very lucrative gardening firm I had. Yes, I come from a family who knows how to make money, believe it or not. And I was making money for the temple. Paradise Now, in my young days, you know. Jetzt das Paradies, you know, was my company. And other devotees were also. One devotee was working in Langnese ice cream. But at that time they didn't have egg-free ice and we couldn't enjoy his position, you know. Langnese ice cream, he was, I think Bhakti Bhushan Swami was working for Langnese ice cream. And our whole temple had different interesting jobs, you know. And then Prabhupada heard about it. And he wrote just once, you know, he was not pleased. It was around this time. He said, I don't want my brahmanas to be dishwashers. You know, servants of materialists. I don't want this. You must please Krishna by your activities. And that is how Sankirtan was born. Sankirtan, Prabhupada got this idea, let us print our books in big quantities, let us distribute them, and we will live very happily. He didn't want us to be pleasing Krishna, and that's his whole teaching to us, and it confronted and collided. I should give up my Paradise Now company. This is a very paradisical company. So much money is coming in it. Yes, Prabhupada doesn't want. He wants you to go on Sankirtan. What should I do? Sing and dance on the street? But what if the people who know me come and see me singing and dancing on the street? That's too far out. But then I thought, why not? Why not sing and dance in the street? It's so good to do this. And I did. I remember I had to surrender to Prabhupada at that time. And I went singing and dancing on the street, and because I was a new devotee, I didn't know how to bind my dhoti, and it was also too short. It went up to the knees. I looked extremely photogenic at that time, like in Bermuda shorts. And I sang and danced in the street, and I distributed books. And it worked. Then my friends came and saw me singing and dancing on the street. And I felt so ashamed. Then they got my German teacher, Herr Förster, who was a real left-wing intellectual. And Mr. Förster saw me, "I can't believe you're doing this. This is how you want to change the society. I can't believe you." No, you come and dance with me. It is a very good, very good method. I do remember, but I had to really fight, because my own thinking was not, I was young and I had my own opinion, and Prabhupada had a different opinion, and yes, we had to surrender. And only now, where I'm old and useless, I can understand why he was doing this. He wanted us to make a paradigm shift. That is, you somehow please Krishna. Now, for the traumatized devotees, there's one is here supremely traumatized, but not the other, not so many. But I need to address everyone in my audience. I agree, this concept of trying to please Krishna and move to the side of the light was, in the early days, we were very revolutionary in the early days, or very, let me say, we did not always think very deeply about the psychophysical nature of all of our members. And therefore, we sometimes gave tips which were not appropriate at the time. And it gives me very much pain that I was part of this thinking in the old times, because I understand I hurt devotees. But that was not good. This was a mistake. But the big thing is not a mistake. That is to learn the principle in life that somehow you are trying to arrange your life in such a way that you give pleasure to Krishna. You must do it in a way as is appropriate for you. The Lord speaks about this in the 11th canto. Surrender, you cannot imitate the word surrender, which is, means one thing for one person and another thing for another person. You must do it as is your adhika. Adhika is a Sanskrit word which means the level on which you presently are. That we didn't know this verse, or we didn't know this point, but now we know. You must apply this principle in your life. Come towards the light in your life. More and more move away from the concept of arranging your life on your own. Put your life into the hands of the Lord, and you will see miracles happening. I began to understand this from my bhakka. My bhakka, Moi bhakka, yes. Bhakka means Großmutter, Großmama. You know, what is it? Grossi in Switzer German. How do we say it in English? Grandmama. Grandmama. Only before, a few days before her death, I asked her, "How is it to die?" I'm always so curious. I'm very curious, those who know me. I sometimes wish I wouldn't be so curious. How is it to die, Grandmama? She looked at me. "It's not different from living," she said. "When I'm living, I'm in the right hand of the Lord. When I'm dying, I'm in the left hand of God. I have given my life to the Lord." That doesn't mean that she didn't take medication. and she had her arrangement when she would fall down, that something would make beep 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 and signal it to some people who would come with a car and help her, rush her to the hospital and so on. No, she used her intelligence. She was a very intelligent elderly lady, but she had placed her life in the hands of the Lord, because only there we will find shelter, only there our heart will find satisfaction, only there our lives will feel sheltered. When there is a difficult situation in your life, learn to pray, learn to give it in the hands of the Lord, and you will see miracles happen. Why do you worry so much? The Lord is behind everything. Not even a blade of grass will be able to move behind him. That doesn't mean that you should try to address the problem on the level of your intelligence and resources, but you should ultimately make yourself dependent on Krishna. And you should arrange your life in such a way that there's ample opportunity to please him. You should just think, what will make the Lord happy now? Now you're in the temple. What will make the Lord happy when you are in the temple? You should think like this. I should serve devotees. Maybe I should come to the programs. I'm now in the temple. Wow, yes, I think this would work. Or I should help here. You should just always ask the question, when you are with the Kamis, or when you sit in the cinema, what will make the Lord happy? You can chant when it's boring, or you know, what will make the Lord happy? I mean, I'm giving a very modern example. I'm not saying, I have to say this for my eternal critics, I'm not recommending the devotees to go to the cinema. If you have heard that, you misheard it. Hare Krishna. I'm just saying, in whatever situation you find yourself, see how you can please the Lord. The Lord is not narrow. He is everywhere. He is in all situations. You utilize everything in his service. Now I know some will not be able to forget this example. Please, I didn't want to the example is not good. I made a mistake here. I should have said, when you are like you always are in high levels of Krishna consciousness, then you should add the thought. But then it's unnecessary to add this thought, because you're already thinking like this. When you go through what you go through, let me say it like this, ask yourself the question, how you can please the Lord. And you will find a way how you can please the Lord, because the Lord is in every situation in life. That is our goal. We are devotees. We are clearly on the side of light. We are not good devotees, at least I am not, but we are trying. We have this as a goal, to please the Lord in all situations. We want to please the Lord however the Lord wants it. That is bhakti. We want to learn this more and more. We want to find out what is the plan, what pleases our Lord, and we want to do this. By the way, I can tell you, he likes if his devotees sing and dance. I do remember this. The last time where I saw Prabhupada was in London, and it was his Vyasa Puja day, and he looked very emaciated. It was only, I think, maybe a month before he would leave, or 2 months. When did Prabhupada leave? In November or October? November. So it was somewhere in Vyasa Puja is when October. Yeah, it changes, can be. Yeah, it was three more months he was with us. He looked already, the signs of his departure were upon him. You could see it very clearly. So we were in the kirtan, we were all very sad because, he didn't look well physically. And Prabhupada looked at us, and his eyes said, "Why do you look so sad? Is this what I taught you?" And he made like this. He wanted us to dance. In such a situation, he wanted us to dance. Okay, if he wants us to dance, we shall dance. And only minutes later, everyone jumped to the ceiling, and because that was what pleased him in this situation. This was what pleased Krishna in this situation. And we did it. We were there. We wanted to please him. That was now our purpose in life. And my dear devotees, the moment you get this in your mind, I want to please Krishna in whatever situation I find myself, brahmachari, grihastha, doesn't matter, rich or poor, doesn't matter, facilities or no facilities, doesn't matter, I want to please Krishna in whatever way he wants us. You are entering the path of bhakti, and as you enter that beautiful path of bhakti and you have this as your motive in your life, you are entering an extremely powerful area, a protected area where Krishna looks over his devotees. If you don't enter this path and enter into the world and run away from this inner mentality to please Krishna, you are on your own. You are relying on your Purushakara, the strengths, your karmic strengths, and you will move in your karmic circle. You will not move even 1 millimeter outside the karmic arrangements in this life for you. So let us add as much light as we can at our present state to move forward in this way or this path of pleasing Krishna, acting for his pleasure. Anukulyena Krishna, we act to make Krishna happy. And you will see miracles. If you forget everything you heard in this lecture, which is possible because there were so many informations, just this one information, to just make a point wherever you are to try to act for the pleasure of Krishna. You will enter a path, and as you enter this path, you will find all of a sudden a pulling force in your life acting upon you. It's the Kashana Shakti of Krishna, which forcibly drags you back home, back to Godhead, no matter where you stand on this path. You will find all of a sudden an energy moving you forward, and you know, my God, this was not my arrangement. I didn't do this. If I'm very honest, this good thing has happened in my life, but I could not have made this happen. I'm very limited. I know how limited I am. You will see more and more of this power working, and you will be surprised. My God, I try to arrange a program, and then all 300 people came. The Lord has sent them. He has helped me. You will actually see these things happening more and more in your life. I tried to do this service for Krishna. I'm very incapable to do it. But all of a sudden, this happened. I always had a little complex in my life. I ran away from school when I was 16. because it was just too boring. I was not very Krishna conscious. It was just intolerably boring for me. I was just suffering, and all the teachers would see it. He looked so dejected and so absolutely finished. We must save him. Maybe we should talk more interesting things. And then, what would make you interesting to learn? They were asking me. Get the Rolling Stones in the school and let us have a concert. And they actually tried, not the Rolling Stones, but some music and so on, because they saw I was suffering. They were good people. But at the end, I just said, I can't take it any longer. And I ran away from school. But I never learned systematically in my life. And I was always had a little minority complex. I want to explain things, but I'm not trained to explain it properly, because I lack the schooling and the concentration and all these things. And then I noticed something. I would be invited to universities to talk. And sometimes professors came to me and said, my God, are you a good teacher? Where did you learn? I said, ha, 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 ha. And my false ego was very much delighted. But then I understood. I didn't learn anything. I'm a fool who ran away from school. But Krishna, because I want to preach, Krishna somehow helps. It's the Daivi Prakriti, the divine energy. It works, in other words, what Prabhupada says. And I really want to encourage all of you. You are great souls. You are much more intelligent than you have so much, you know. Just try to add this into your life. This conscious question, what will please Krishna in this situation? And you will see. First, it's a little bit more light into your life, and because your life may be still a little gray in the gray zone, I don't know. Maybe some of you are already pure devotees and it's only light, but I'm talking now to the people like me, the gray zone people, who are not materialists and who are not yet pure devotees. Huh? There are different shades of material contaminations working, therefore our life is a little in the gray zone. If you add this thought, I want to please Krishna, you come into this. And for me, in the Varaha Leela, this is the deciding question. There's the ancient struggle between the Lord and his devotees on one side, and the people who have made the decision to turn away from the Lord, to have nothing to do with him, to reject him, and their people, you know. And this is there. And then there's a lot of gray, innocent people, misguided people, and so on. And I think we were in the misguided section of humanity. Now we need to go more and more the path of bhakti. And you will learn the hidden secrets of bhakti. You will hear about this evening. We will start, and you will be surprised. In the beginning, you might say, oh yeah, I've heard things like this, but then you will hear something which will revolutionize the your understanding of Krishna consciousness. You will see. Please test me very severely. See, anyways, I don't want to give away my plus points here from the lecture. So this was the lecture. I hope it had some point for you. Maybe be blessed by Lord Varaha. May some of the water from his body come on us. Yoo-hoo. for us mercy, and may we become uplifted by his Udharana Shakti, his Shakti by which he uplifts fallen objects and fallen people. He's called this Patita Udharana. And may we do our part, that is, rely more on the Daivi Prakriti than on our Purushakara. This is what makes a devotee. In the Gita, Lord Krishna speaks about his devotees. He says, they are great souls, Mahatmanas, Tumangpata. Then he says why he considers them great souls. Because Devim Prakritim Ashrita. You remember the shloka? Of course you do. They take shelter under the divine energy of the Lord. They really make a conscious effort. It's like yesterday we walked in the rain and we took shelter under umbrellas. We made a conscious endeavor to get these foolish things out and put them over us. So devotees are taking shelter every day under the umbrella-like lotus feet of Krishna. And what that means for us, or what that could mean for us, is really a hidden secret, which we hope to address this evening. Lord Varahadeva ki jai, Patita Udarana Varadeva ki jai, Patita Pavana Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai, Shri Nityananda Rama ki jai, Go Premanandi, Hare Krishna. So, any questions you have? Yes, Prima Modi. Babu.
I wanted to ask, because you said we always need to see what will please Krishna. Sometimes, because we are devotees and we have this inclination that we like to do devotional things, how can you please a little elaborate how to be responsible for some also material things? Like, because usually it comes to me, you know, like, oh, I would really like to please Krishna, I would like to go to temple, go to India all the time and this and that. But does it really please Krishna? How to be responsible also for spiritual material? Where is the limit?
Please go more to India. not India, Vrindavan, very useful. In our service we have areas of responsibility, and then it would be irresponsible if our service calls for us to go to Vrindavan or Mayapur. I'm in this situation. Everyone wants me to go to the Kirtan Mela, and I'm getting letters from GBC members and everything. Not letters, but they threaten that they will kidnap me. But it would not be responsible at this stage towards the Vedic way, which is a service which needs to be developed and, if possible, finished in this year. That's my desire, at least. So the responsibility for this is in the service for Krishna, whereby you please Krishna, or responsibility towards your when you are a family person. I think you are not, but those of us who are, or those of you who are family people, you have a responsibility towards the children, for instance. I know some of the devotees would like to go with their children to Vrindavan, but there was one couple of devotees, very excellent devotees, who wanted so much, but the child needed to first grow, otherwise it would have been irresponsible. They can become ill, the children in Vrindavan. No? So this pleases Krishna. Premamurti, there is a very nice secret in Krishna consciousness. There are two types of devotees, Anukaran and Anusharan. Anukaran means someone who follows devotees, but he is not yet understanding the essence. To put it in very simple language, he's imitating. And then there is the Anusharan devotee. Now, the devotee, the difference between these the substantial devotee and the one who is still immature and therefore only imitates is that the substantial devotee takes responsibility, whereas the unsubstantial devotee, or let me say the growing devotee, let us give a polite term for him, is not taking responsibility. You can see that when someone comes into the temple, when it's dirty, one devotee will say, "It's dirty, I must clean it," and the other will not even notice that it's dirty, because for him, he's not having accepted the responsibility to really serve in the temple for the pleasure of the Lord. He comes to meet his friends and so on. He has not seen this. I'm going now into the temple. This is the house of God. I'm now in his house. The eyes of the Lord are on me. I must now keep my Lord's house like this. So that responsibility, it's a big problem in our movement, that devotees are not taking responsibility. They don't think it's not my job. It's the authority's job to take care of this, or it's someone else's job, not my. They should serve my interest. I'm here for this, that's a problem. That is a problem. Then you cannot be strong as a movement when the devotees don't take responsibility. So that marks the difference. When you can see in your life and you feel, "Oh my God, this needs to be taken care of, but there is no manpower, but I'm here. I mean, I should take care of it." When this feeling comes in your heart, you know you're coming, some paradigm shift starts in your life, where you become a real devotee, or let us say substantial devotee, and where you leave the area where you're just making yourself acquainted with the culture and tradition and the philosophy. It's something, you will see it. It's a certain move. Oh yeah! There are people who don't know about spiritual life and who are wasting their life out there. But maybe I should do something. I should do something to help. You know, I'm not dead yet. I can help. I can do, you know, like this. Now, obviously, if you don't have time to clean, if you have another appointment, and you have to move within a frame of references in your life, in the contextual frame. What is the, in which context do you move at the present moment? No, but I'm speaking now about principles which need to be applied. Taking responsibility is a principle which you have to apply in the context of your life. Maybe you have already responsibilities to something else and cannot take this particular responsibility at this time. Fine, of course. But I'm talking about the principle to take on responsibility. I found out in my life, there's one thing, and that is maybe the only good thing in me, if there is anything good in me. I found out my spiritual development is my responsibility. I have to do it. When it comes to chanting, I have to make sure that I'm there. It's not anyone else's it's not even Prabhupada's responsibility. That much. He has taken a responsibility for his disciples to bring them God back to Godhead if they follow his orders. So I have to follow this part. It's my responsibility. And when I notice that, oh my God, my spiritual life is my responsibility. Oh, I'm not really very good in taking responsibility. My hippie background is ruling me in this. I was a little bit a hippie. Little. So it's still there that one doesn't want to take responsibility for anything. It's old-fashioned to take responsibility. That's the philosophy of hippies. It belongs to another era. This is a modern era. So then I found out this. It's very nice. Get yourself a service which fits to your to the way you are at the present moment, and then take full responsibility for that service. Maybe you don't have one. Maybe your service is not the service of someone else. I mean, for sure, but there must be some service. It must be, even if it is a service which has a very relatively small time frame. In other words, you only have 1 hour a day, or half an hour a day, or 10 minutes a day to do service. But whatever it is, take that and take responsibility. And you will, I have to make sure it works for me. This is, and then you move into this area of functioning to give pleasure to Krishna. You move in this area. Because if you want to give pleasure to Krishna, you have to make sure you do that and take responsibility for this. But a pilgrimage to India, if your service allows, is not irresponsible. It is very necessary to recharge the batteries. It's our process of it's, we have five processes of devotional service, and one is going to the Dham, chanting is another, reading the Bhagavatam, associating with devotees like that. But of course we should go responsibly. When we go to the Holy Dham, my dear devotees, here's the secret. Do service. It's not about tourism. It's about doing more service to Radha and Krishna. That's how you go to the Dham. Yes, in our Western culture, we go to other places out of tourism. That's not about that. Pilgrimage is something, it's not the tourist. I want to see this. I would like to be there. Let me look at this place. Let me make a photo and show I was also there. See, I'm next to the deity. You got it completely wrong. This is not the idea of pilgrimage. More service is done in the Holy Dham. That's a problem for the pujaris. In our temple also, it's not allowed to make photographs because so many Indians came and they wanted to be photographed next to the deities, It was like really the temple was becoming a kulisse. How do we say kulisse in English? Is there a word? When you go to the Photoshop, there's like a background, but it's called a kulisse or something. Like in Russia, there's a Gorbachev and you out of paper, and you could stand next to him and get a photo, you know. So all the daily wallahs came, and the deities and everything just became a backdrop maybe. And then we had to say no photographs allowed in the temple. That was the only way to stop it. And you know what? 80% of those who took photos were Hare Krishna devotees. It's us who needed correction. Not the Dobro. What is the time now? I forgot. 5 to 2. Oh, it is. I'm sorry. I'm keeping you. I think we will end here the class. Is this all right? While you're here, I would like to suggest this. See how you can be here and please Krishna, and you will see something will be very nice. In the kirtans, already today I saw you were dancing much more nice than when you just came. You're warming up. Kirtan is a good way to please the Lord. Chant and dance and serve the Vaishnavas. I wish you a wonderful time here in Zagreb. I feel Krishna cooperates. This year it's not so cold. Have you noted? Last year when you would go out, you were almost becoming a piece of ice. It was so cold. This year Krishna is helping us. I will end here. I think Ishwarapuri, you have some orientation to give to the devotees.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Maharaj, thank you very much for the class. So what we bring with us, one of the things is that